Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Lunar Love of the Podcast acknowledges the traditional owners of the land on which this podcast is recorded, the Arakwal people of the Bundjalung Nation, and pays respects to elders past, present, and emerging.
Welcome to Lunar Love of the Podcast. I'm your host, Jordana Levine, and today I'm doing an Answer All of Your Astrology's Questions episode, which I bloody love, and I got some really good questions that were asked on Instagram this week, and I'm so excited to answer them for you. Let's just dive straight in. There were a lot of questions that I've already answered on this podcast, so I'm not going to repeat myself, and I know that's annoying because you want your question answered. But the episodes where I answer astrology questions are quite obvious in the titles, so definitely go through the back catalogue and find those. If you asked a question about your nodal return, a lot of people asked me about their nodal return. I have done so many episodes on this as well. So go and listen to any of the eclipse episodes from this year, the Aries season episode, the astrology of 2024 episode also speaks to that. If you asked a question that was very personalized to you specifically, I'm not going to answer that on the podcast. But when I do a question box on Instagram in the future, which I will do shortly, then definitely re-ask the question then. All right, let's dive in. Like I said, I got a lot of questions, so I haven't been able to answer all of them, but I've tried to answer the ones that got asked the most or that kind of really intrigued me. So the first one, love it. Is there a chance of a humanity reboot or lethal meteor strike because I've had enough? Said with a little bit of jest, I think. We're not really hoping for a lethal meteor strike, but do you know what? It's a good question and I'm going to answer it. I think there is a chance of a humanity reboot, and it has a lot to do with Pluto in Aquarius. I've spoken about Pluto moving into Aquarius a lot. It happened last year and then it went into retrograde. It moved into Capricorn. It's come back into Aquarius this year. It's going to go retrograde into Capricorn for a little bit. And then in November of this year, it will stay there permanently for 20 years. Well, that's not permanently, is it? For the next 20 years, it will stay in Aquarius. If you want to know more about that particular transit, go and listen to the Astrology of 2024 episode. But Pluto is all about death and rebirth, yeah? But in order for that rebirth to happen, first something has to die, right? And so look, moving very slowly, so not the meteor crashing into Earth, as the question maybe suggested, I feel like things are probably going to get much worse. The planet's dark night of the soul, if you will. And then, I truly believe we will birth a much better world, right? And I don't say that in a foreboding sense. It's not going to be this, you know, huge thing that happens overnight. I mean, slowly, although it doesn't even feel that slowly. But the last few years, we have seen a deterioration, right? We have seen a really dark side of humanity. I think it might get a little bit darker. And then I think we will birth a much better world. And your children, especially those born this year, last year, in the years that follow, they're going to be the ones who save us. And I truly believe that those children born with Pluto and Aquarius in their chart are going to save humanity. Big call, big call. But I do believe it in my bones. Also not astrology related, but whenever I feel like I've lost control of my fate and the world's getting a little bit out of hand, I always come back to what I can control. Now, this is advice coming from a control freak, so take it with a grain of salt. But I know that even when the world is falling apart, I have control of the words that I use, of the intentions I set, of the actions I take, and my role in the ripple effect of what affects our earth and what affects humanity. So in those moments where it's feeling a little bit dark, perhaps go quite small and just focus on the things that you can do in your own life, the conversations you can have with your own loved ones, the guidance and the teachings that you can impart on your own children. And together, oh my God, this is so naff, I can't believe I'm about to say this, we can make the world a better place. But we can, all right? So I think I answered that question, maybe not, but I do think Pluto in Aquarius is going to take us on that death and rebirth journey. We're just in the dying stages, unfortunately, right now. But the only way to get to the rebirth is for that to happen. All right, next question. What happens with people that have the same chart, like twins? Do they get similar lessons at the same time? Such a good question. I'm going to answer it, and then it's actually going to lead us into the next question, which is there a way to interpret darkness and light in someone's chart? Now, the reason I connected the two questions is because there are multiple ways to interpret the one placement, right? I have done a reading for one set of twins who are listeners of this podcast, or one of them is at least, but I've also been friends with many sets of twins over the years. And all I can say is of the sets of twins that I know and the ones that I read for, they are completely different people, right? Especially fraternal twins. I find fraternal twins are usually like the polar opposites of each other. I always find it really interesting. It's like everything got split up to the polarities. But if you put them together, they're like this full spectrum, which in itself is really beautiful in a way. Twins' charts can be different though. That's the first thing I want to say. So depending on how far apart they were born, how many minutes or hours apart they were born, it can affect the chart quite dramatically. So a lot of the planets are going to be in the same sign, obviously, but the rising sign can change. And when your rising sign or your ascendant changes, it changes the layout of the houses in your chart, right? So someone who is born an hour earlier than their twin can have quite a dramatically different natal chart in terms of how it plays out. Now, let's say that they're born minutes apart and their chart is exactly the same. The degrees of their rising will be slightly different, but most of it looks exactly the same. Let's just say that for argument's sake. One placement, one planet in one particular sign, in one particular house, can play out differently for someone who's got the exact same chart. When I interpret a chart for someone, it's not always my first interpretation that lands with them. And if something doesn't resonate, I'll walk them through another way that that placement can play out. So I think, you know, twins are individual people. They share the same DNA, but they have different personalities a lot of the time. They've got different life circumstances. They've probably got different jobs. They've got different partners. They've got different children. They've been in different spaces, had different environments, you know, all of these sorts of things factor in. So the natal chart makes up a part of us, but it is not the entirety of us. And I think it's a really interesting observation to see how twins play it out differently. The twins that I read for, they were completely different people. And some placements. God, it was so long ago. I can't remember specifics. Not that I would discuss specifics with you guys, but I remember thinking at times, wow, this twin is playing out the higher expression of this particular placement, while this twin is probably playing out the lower expression of it. But that wasn't across the chart, right? That differed from placement to placement. It's really, really fascinating, which brings me to the next question. Is there a way to interpret darkness and light in someone's chart? Yeah, there is. Absolutely. I think there's a full spectrum in everyone's chart of light and dark. All of the signs come with high vibrational energy and low vibrational energy. And at times in your life, you might be sitting in the low vibrational energy of a particular placement, and at other times in the high vibration. I know I have very much ventured into low vibrational Gemini energy at moments in my life, right? I feel like currently I'm sitting in a higher vibration of it, but who knows? Who knows? Maybe those who love me and want to tell me the truth can talk to me honestly about that. But yeah, I do think we get a full spectrum. Look, I've seen people's charts on paper when I prep a chart before a reading. So I haven't met the person yet. I've just looked at their chart and made assumptions on who I think this person is going to be based on their placements. And more often than not, I'm wrong, I have to say. Or I'll see a chart and I'll be like, oh my God, this person is incredible. Oh my God, they must live such an incredible life. What a fortunate combination of placements this person has. And then I hop on the call and they are not living that chart at all. Yeah. I'll often see the potential of someone and someone is not living up to it in the slightest. A lot of the time they are. A lot of the time they are, but sometimes they're not. Sometimes I'll be prepping a chart and I'll be a bit scared about who the person's going to be when they hop on the call. And that's always my own bias, right? That's always me comparing a placement that I've experienced in a friend or a loved one or even a previous client and making judgment on this person. That's my Sagittarius South node that does that. More often than not, I'm pleasantly surprised. So, yes, we can interpret darkness. We can interpret light. People will play out the high vibrational expression of their chart. People will play out the low vibrational expression of their chart. The everyday person will play out both at different times in their life. And I don't think anyone is filled with lots of darkness or anyone is filled with lots of light. I'll tell you an example with giving zero specifics, because if you're a client of mine, don't worry, I will never talk about you specifically on the podcast. But I did read a chart for a client not so long ago. It was very Pluto heavy, lots of Scorpio energy, lots of Plutonian energy. Pluto was aspecting a lot in the chart. It had potential for a very powerful, transformative individual who was really tuned into their psychic awareness, their deep knowing, their ability to create transformation in other people and to understand the psychology of other people. They were not using this chart to the highest expression. I was seeing all of the Plutonic shadow qualities playing out. I was seeing a lot of power trips. I was seeing a lot of ego. I was seeing a lot of controlling behavior, a lot of manipulation, right? A lot of egomaniacal behavior. So that's all to say, yeah. There is darkness. But with all darkness, we can also see the light. And that's what's so cool about natal charts. All right, next question. Things to look for in your chart if you're looking to launch a podcast this year. All right, this is a very specific question. So I am going to generalize it a little bit. Let's talk about in terms of like launching a business or anything business related. The first thing I'm going to say is going to annoy everybody listening. I personally wouldn't wait for transits if it's something you want to do. In saying that, I wouldn't launch anything during a Mercury retrograde. But other than that, don't put your life on hold because of specific planetary transits. However, if it is work-related, it's always good to see what's transiting your midheaven or your MC. Now, this is one of four angles in the chart. It's the cusp of the 10th house. It usually sits somewhere near the top of your chart. You want to have a look if there are any significant planets transiting your midheaven. Now, the planets I'd keep an eye on are the outer planets. So Sun, Moon, Mercury, Venus, and Mars move very fast. So it's only going to be like a few days that they're going to be sitting on your midheaven. But planets like Saturn, Jupiter, Pluto, Uranus, and Neptune are going to be moving a lot slower and they'll be spending a lot more time there. So that's the first place I'd start. The other thing you could do is have a look. This is quite advanced for most people, so let it go over your head if it does, but those in the know, stay with me. The other thing you could do is have a look at what sign your midheaven is in. So that's going to be the sign sitting on top of that angle. And then have a look at what the planet is that rules that sign and then go and find where that's transiting in your chart. That's a bit complicated. So for me, for example, my midheaven's in Aries, so I'd go and check where Mars is currently transiting in my chart. You could also check what planets are transiting through your 10th house. That's the house of career and our public image. You could also go and have a look at the second house and the sixth house. Sixth house is the day-to-day, so work sits in there. And second house is where our talents lie and also our income, money lies. But then like, oh my God, we could just go so deep. Like using podcasting as an example, you might also look into the third house, which is the house of communication, or the ninth house, which is where we sort of broadcast things. We could have a look at the 11th house, which is about community and podcasting is to a group of people. If your podcast is about dating, we could look at the seventh house, house of relationships. If it's about spirituality, we could look to the 12th house. If it's about sex, or maybe it's a finance podcast about investing, we could look to the eighth house. So yeah, I mean, that was probably not helpful at all. All that to say, don't live your life purely by the transits. They can be very helpful and assist you, but don't put your life on hold for them. If you want to get really specific when to find out when a good time is to do something business related, book yourself in for a transit reading with me and we can get super specific. I've done this with people who are handing in their PhDs and are looking for the best time to do like a presentation or hand in a specific thesis. So yeah, we can work with all of that stuff. All right, next question. What book would you suggest to a newbie to learn the basics of astrology? This is always a really hard question to answer because as my celestial storytelling students will know, even the basics of astrology are really complex. In saying that, I always recommend The Inner Sky by Stephen Forrest. He's amazing. Right? He's amazing. I love the way he talks about things. I love his use of language. I think it's quite an enjoyable read. But I mean, books are subjective, aren't they? Most people I recommend Inner Sky to love it. So I would definitely start there. My astrology book is out on August 26th in Australia. US, UK, and Europe, we are in the process of trying to secure publishing deals there at the moment. The best way for that to happen is for my beautiful listeners in those countries to share their podcast with their friends. We've got a pretty good listenership in the US, but it can always be better. UK and Europe, we're working on you. So if you can spread the word, that'll be very helpful to ensure that the book gets to you guys. right? It's really important. What other books? I can't tell you books specifically, but I can tell you some authors. Jan Spiller, always good. Chani Nicholas has a book. I actually haven't read it, but I can't imagine it's not good. It would be great because she's incredible. Who else is good? I mean, Linda Goodman's Star Signs is a classic. I mean, Linda Goodman's Sun Signs is a classic. But yeah, I'd start with Stephen Forrest if I was you. Okay. Next question. If a transit is coming late in the evening, when do its effects begin? The next day? Really good question. It's such a good question because I give specific times, especially when we're talking about the moon. And then I talk about these transits that are coming up and I give you a specific date and it's like, okay, cool. Like, when am I meant to feel that? Let me try and give you more information here. Although this is subjective again, because we don't really know, do we? We don't know. You can only know by when you yourself are feeling the effects of it. But with the moon, what a lot of people don't know is how bloody fast the moon moves. The moon only spends 2.5 days in one sign, right? So when I release a podcast episode 4 days before the Scorpio full moon and people are like, oh, I'm already feeling it. Well, you're not. You're not feeling the Scorpio full moon because the moon's not in Scorpio yet. It's probably still in Libra. Oh my God. I was like, what order are the star signs in? It's probably still in Libra when you're feeling it. It'll be something else that you're feeling, right? And this is why I'm really cautious about how far in advance I release the episodes. I want you to have the information before the moon has passed, but I don't want it to be the placebo effect of thinking that you're feeling it already. All right. So that's the moon. The moon's moving very, very fast. It moves through all 12 signs within a 29-day cycle. Now, the sun, obviously, moving a lot slower. It takes 30 days to get through one sign. So that's the astrological season that we're in. But when I'm talking about something big, like the Uranus and Jupiter conjunction, you will feel the lead up to that. You'll feel it on the day, you'll feel it the day after, and you'll probably feel it as the conjunction starts to wane as well, right? So it's really hard to give specificities, which is probably really fucking annoying. But let me go back to the moon because I think it's probably the best one to use here because it does move so fast. If I've said the Scorpio full moon will take place at 10:48 a.m. in Sydney, if it's a morning moon, I think waiting until that evening is probably the best bet because if you do it the morning before, the night before, it actually hasn't reached its fullness yet, if you know what I mean. But in saying that, look, again, I it's really hard to give you specific answers, which is going to be so bloody annoying. I'm annoyed at myself. I think after the fact is probably your safest bet. But just be conscious of the effects before, on, and after, and just observe how you're feeling, right? Don't ever let yourself feel what you're feeling because I've told you you'll feel it. Just feel it, baby. Just feel how you want to feel. Okay. Next question. When are we going to pop into some yeah, baby energy? I love this question. I also got asked a similar question, which was actually there were multiple versions of this that were asking about the intensity of this year and when it's going to feel better. So let me start by saying this. This year, astrologically, not that intense. I know. Seems wild, right? I think because we just had eclipse season, but we get eclipse seasons every year. And I don't know if y'all remember, but last year's eclipses were way more intense because they were happening in Taurus and Scorpio, right? And Scorpio is all about intensity. We also had 1, 2, 3 of the outer planets change signs, which was intense. I think y'all have forgotten about Saturn moving into Pisces and the first time Pluto moved into Aquarius. That was intense, right? This year, walk in the park. Walk in the park. Which I know is hard to hear when we've just come out of eclipse season and a Mercury retrograde and we had the Uranus and Jupiter conjunction and the world is falling apart. I know, it's hard to hear. But in terms of astrological shifts, this one's pretty mediocre. When are we going to pop into some yeah baby energy? Well, it depends on your natal chart. And that's annoying to hear as well, but it's true. The first thing I will say is if you want to be in yeah baby energy, and I think we all are aware of what that means, the best thing you can do is really be following with the energy of the seasons, right? So we're in Taurus season right now. Go back and listen to the Taurus season episode and tune into Taurus energy, right? The best way to do that is look at what the high vibrational energy of a particular sign is and see if you can start to embody that. Now, if you are Taurus or it is your season, depending on what time of year we're in, what can you learn about yourself by integrating and embodying the high vibrational qualities of your sign, of your sun sign or your moon sign or your rising sign? All right, so that's the first thing I would lean into if you want some yeah baby energy in your life. The seasons and the way that the signs move into one another is something that I completely geek out on. It's a big part of my new book that's coming out. And if you can really start to lean into that energy, your energy of who you are, your vibrational energy, is going to be so bloody shiny and radiant. There is a cool thing happening in May, soon, May 26th to be exact, and that is Jupiter changing signs. So Jupiter's going to move out of Taurus and into Gemini, which means for everyone, wherever Gemini falls in your chart, is going to be kissed over the next year by Jupiter, which is always fortuitous. So, well, I mean, just like anything, not always. It's the expander, right? So it's going to expand whatever it kisses, whatever it touches, whatever it conjuncts or squares or opposes. But it is also the planet of luck and opportunity. And that's how I'm looking at it, because it is kissing everything in my chart over the next year, right? So I'm hoping it brings some good juju. But have a look where Gemini falls in your chart, and that is the perfect place to start. But we're going to talk about that in detail. I'm going to do a whole public episode on Jupiter and Gemini. But if you want a little teaser or taster, yeah, go and have a look where Gemini is in your natal chart. I always find another yeah baby energy time of year for everyone is when you're going through your solar return. So that's your birthday, obviously, or maybe not so obviously. So your birthday is your solar return, but also the entire month that the sun is in your sun sign. Now, in saying that, I actually always find June, which is when my birthday is, a little challenging, but I think that's because I place so much expectation on my birthday and what I should have achieved in the past year. But energetically, cosmically, astrologically, your solar return month is meant to give you life and energy and vitality, right? So I guess it's all about perception, baby. So if you can, yeah, so that's a lesson for me and maybe some of you to change the way I look at my birthday. Okay, I'm coming up to a big one, so I'm feeling all the feels. If you want to know specifically, I know I keep saying this, but it's actually very true for all of these questions. If you want to know specifically when you're coming into your yeah baby energy, get a transits reading, right? We can get super specific about it and where you're likely to feel it in your life. All right, last question is about, this is a good question. I actually got this a lot in celestial storytelling and I don't really talk to it enough. So let's give it a red hot crack here. The question is, astrology is so associated with the seasons of the Northern Hemisphere. How does this affect us in the Southern Hemisphere? It's a really good question. I had never really thought twice about it because I've always lived in the Southern Hemisphere. And so although I know that the signs are quite seasonal in nature, and I mean that by weather seasons, they're also not at the same time. I know everything I know about the signs because I learnt the qualities of them. I never really associated them with the seasons, like I said. But just so we know, the equinoxes always happen in Aries and Libra season, and the solstices always happen in Cancer and Capricorn season, right? Now, what's interesting is Cancer, which is the summer solstice in the Northern Hemisphere, I feel like it's quite a wintry sign. It's all about getting cozy at home and going inward. It doesn't scream summer solstice to me, right? But then we have something like Gemini, which again would be taking place in winter. Well, oh, this is where it gets complicated. So again, I should have prepped these questions a bit better so you're getting more congruent answers. But in Australia, for those listening in the Southern Hemisphere, in Australia, we do this really weird thing. Well, it's not weird to us because we've always done it. But the beginning of a season starts with the beginning of a certain month. So our winter is June, July, August, right? Where in the Northern Hemisphere, winter doesn't kick off until June 21st, 22nd, depending on when the sun moves into Cancer, right? That's the solstice, is when the ecliptic path of the sun passes through Cancer. So yes, if we look at a sign like Gemini, which is really social and like getting out there and having fun, it's very summer oriented, right? It suits the energy of the Northern Hemisphere. Not so much here, like as winter is setting in, we don't want to go out and party and sip cocktails on the rooftop. But then, like I said, we've got Cancer, which is all about going inside and being at home and having a nurturing space for yourself. But then we hit Leo, which is about going out and being in the spotlight and shining your light, again, which is very summer-oriented energy. What you're going to find, though, as you move through the signs in order, is that they move from yin to yang, yin to yang, yin to yang, right? Summer is yang energy. Winter is yin energy. So although, yes, there are signs and clues within the astrological signs that can speak very much to the seasonal energy of the Northern Hemisphere, I don't actually think it's that black and white, which is why, as an astrologer that works in the Southern Hemisphere, I really haven't overthought it. This answer might actually be more complicated than it needed to be, but I wanted to give you a thorough reply. I hope that answered your question. Look, all I can say is this: don't rely on the weather seasons to give you clues into the qualities of the astrological seasons. Okay. Because that is not going to be helpful, depending on where you are in the world and the climate. And the climate's changing anyway, so none of it is going to matter at the end of the day. All right, my loves, that is that episode done. All your questions answered. I hope I satisfied some people's curiosities. Perhaps you didn't know it was a curiosity for you, and now you too are satisfied. I will be back next week. What are we discussing next week? We are discussing the Taurus new moon. Oh, I love myself a Taurus new moon. How exciting. As always, I haven't said this in a while, but please share this podcast with your friends. You can share it on social media. You can tag me at Jordana Levine or tag Luna Lover at Luna _Lover. Otherwise, you can just tell your friends about the podcast. The more listens I get, the better chance I get of spreading this new book worldwide. Right now, we are published in Australia, but I have so many of you that live in America and in the UK and in Europe, and I really want to get the book to you guys because the cost of shipping it from Australia is more than the book itself. I know, go figure, it's so stupid. Anyway, so let's make that happen. And the way that we can make that happen is by spreading the word. All right? All right, my loves. I'll be back next week. Until then, I'm Jordana Levine, and you've been listening to Luna Lover, the podcast.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.